Let us pray.
Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in the unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. A young woman brought her fiancé home to meet her parents for Thanksgiving dinner. And after dinner, her mother told her father to find out about the young man. The father invited the fiancé to his study for a talk. "So what are your plans?" the father asked the young man. "I am a biblical scholar," he replied. "A biblical scholar? The father said. "Admirable. But what will you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in?" "I will study," the young man replied, "and God will provide for us." "And how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves?" asked the father. "I will concentrate on my studies," the young man replied. "God will provide for us." "And children?" asked the father. "How will you support them?" "Don't worry, sir, God will provide," replied the fiancé. The conversation proceeded like this, and each time the father questioned, the young man insisted that God would provide. Later, the mother asked, "How did it go, honey?" The father answered, "He has no job, no plans, and he thinks I'm God." The Lord will provide for us. This is truth. But why do we struggle so much to believe it, to trust it? And what would each of us do if God asked what seemed impossible to us? To lay our Isaac down before him, the one thing that we love and treasure so very, very much. Would we be obedient to his command? Or would we reveal the shallowness of our faith? This morning we examine one of the most moving passages in all of Scripture, the sacrifice of Isaac. But we could more aptly call it the sacrifice of Abraham. A father willing to give up his only son as an offering. And we're going to see that God does indeed test his people. He does this not in any sort of cruel way, but to see the capacity of our faith and our trust in him. I'm reminded of the classic song, My One Thing, by Rich Mullins. In it, Rich sings, "Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Because what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?" So make no mistake, there is a huge test going on here in our passage. Is the Lord Abraham's one thing even above his love for Isaac, his only son? But there is also something bigger still. There is a prophetic utterance revealing the saving work of God in Jesus Christ. The Lord will provide for us. But what does the Lord provide? The one and only Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to see how this passage about Abraham and Isaac prefigures the Father's love for us and giving his one and only Son to die in our place. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, found on page 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Another way of saying this is, after these things, God tested Abraham. But after what things? After leaving his homeland for a land that God would show him. After living a life of an immigrant. After waiting 25 years for a son with his wife, Sarah. After sending Ishmael and Hagar away. After negotiating water rights with a local chieftain. But the test comes after Abraham has received the promised son. The one through whom the entire world was to be blessed. the son of the covenant. So God comes calling. He calls Abraham by name. Abraham. What does this name mean? It means father of many nations. Father of many nations. Countless descendants will come from this one man. God calls him by name with this meaning. And he asks Abraham what seems impossible. He asks his covenant partner, his faithful partner Abraham, to sacrifice his best. To lay his beloved son Isaac down before the Lord. The Lord says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Our Reno comments, for many modern readers, the idea that God tries and tests the faithful offends. We tend to think of loving parents as those who protect rather than try. A good teacher seeks to empower rather than test. We worry about the perils of competitions. Encouraging self-esteem becomes the great preoccupation. Everybody is a winner, and prizes and ribbons are on hand for all the participants. True love nurtures, we imagine. It does not challenge and demand, try and judge. Yet despite what our current cultural trends throw upon us, the Lord tests us. He tests us to sacrifice our best to him because he is to be our one and only thing, to put first things first, him and him alone. And what we see in Abraham's response is complete obedience and compliance, even though it was tough. The Lord was his one thing. He was trusting in the Lord. He would lay his Isaac down. The text tells us that Abraham rose early. He saddled his donkey and he took two servants with him, along with Isaac. Then he chops the wood for sacrifice. Imagine doing that for your child. You see, Abraham is a man of action. When God speaks, he moves. Like how his journey began in Genesis 12, God speaks and Abraham goes to a land that God will show him. But this time, to sacrifice his best to the Lord, to lay his Isaac down. What a test. Why does the Lord test Abraham's faith? To see if it's genuine, to see if it's authentic and real. J. Sumagayase notes, all sort of things are tested to prove that they are genuine. When you go to a bank and give a $20 bill to the cashier, they hold it to a special light. Why? Because they are testing to make sure it's genuine, to see if it's the real deal. We expect everything that has value to be tested. The faith that is not tested is the faith that cannot be trusted. So Abraham's faith is tested. And on the third day of their journey, Abraham sees the spot. He sees the spot. On the third day in Scripture is quite significant, isn't it? And since the New Testament interprets the Old, we see once more that God is a God of the living, not of the dead. And those who live in God live by faith. From a distance, Abraham sees the spot where he is to offer up his son. And he tells the servants that the boy and him will go up and worship and will come back again. This is a proclamation of faith that Abraham believed that God is life giver. Why should he not believe this? Sarah's womb was as good as dead, past the years of childbearing, but bear a child she did, the son of promise. God spoke like he did in Genesis 1, and life happened. Isaac was formed and born. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. And because of this, Abraham would lay his Isaac down. He surrenders to God, trusting that the Lord will provide the lamb. Over the last year, I've been listening to the phenomenal album, Seven Swans, by Stephen Stevens. And there's a short, beautiful, and haunting piece simply entitled Abraham, all about our passage this morning. And in it, the lyrics beautifully depict Isaac being loaded up with the wood. You see, Isaac carries the wood for the burnt offering upon his shoulders. As Waukee mentions, he carries the wood of his own destruction. Meanwhile, Abraham carries the fire and the knife. They walk together, father and son, to the place, to the spot. But then Isaac notices that there isn't a lamb. And what is Abraham's reply? It's one of faith. The Lord will provide the lamb. And they get to the place that is identified in the general area where the Temple Mount will be constructed and where Jesus will be crucified. And at this place, Abraham builds an altar, and he lays upon it the wood that his son carried. Then he ties up his only beloved son, and he places him on top of the wood. And Abraham picks up the knife. He's laid his Isaac down. He's ready to sacrifice his son to the Lord. And then the angel of the Lord calls to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looks up, and he sees a ram. The Lord will provide, but this is not a lamb. It's a ram. He slaughters it, and he puts it on the wood anyway, and he names the place the Lord will provide. Then the angel calls out again. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Abraham laid Isaac down because God was his one thing. And on Mount Moriah, the Lord provided. But the animal offered was a ram. The lamb would come much later on, fulfilling what the angel of the Lord had spoken. But of course, there are some striking connections here between Isaac and Jesus. Dr. Larry Payton notes that there is no clearer picture of the cross and the sacrifice the Father made for us in Christ than here in Genesis 22. Both fulfilled promises. Isaac was the long-promised son to Abraham. Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. Both were the only son of their father. In our passage, God says, "Your son, your only son whom you love." In Matthew, God says of Jesus, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Both had a three-day experience. Isaac had a three-day hike to Mount Moriah. Jesus had 3 days from the cross to the grave to the resurrection. Both were accompanied by two men, Isaac by two servants, Jesus by two thieves. Both carried their own wood. Isaac carried the wood for his own sacrifice. Jesus carried the crossbeam of his cross. Both submitted to their father. Isaac willingly laid down, submitting to Abraham. Jesus submitted to his father's plan and will. Both asked a question to their father. Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb?" Jesus asked, "Why have you forsaken me?" Both were brought back from the dead. Isaac, symbolically in Genesis 22:12, Jesus 3 days after he was crucified. My friends, the Lord provided the lamb. When Jesus is identified by John the Baptist at the River Jordan, John calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He carries the hardwood of the cross to Calvary, and he dies there in our place as our substitute. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. His one and only Son. Yes, the Lord provided the Lamb. A lamb without blemish, the holy, perfect Lamb of God. But as we connect this passage with our own day and age, as we connect this passage to our very lives, what kind of trust and faith do we place in God, our Father? We speak of this passage as the sacrifice of Isaac, but it was really Abraham's sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice the best he had in obedience to the Lord. The test was to determine how far Abraham would obey. What is God calling you to sacrifice in your own life? How far are you willing to go to obey him? Maybe the Lord's calling you to spend more time with him. In that case, your Isaac may be pulling back from entertainment, sacrificing Netflix, concerts, and watching sports to devote yourself to the studying of the scriptures and prayer. But you don't understand, Scott. I need to decompress, man. I work hard all the time. My work is really stressful. Hey, I get it. I get it. Trust me. I really do. But the Lord should be our one thing above all others. And no amount of Netflix or sports or music is going to edify you like spending some quality time with him in scripture and prayer. Maybe the Lord's calling you to give more financially to the church. In most cases, I believe that this is the Isaac everyone struggles with. Here's my experience with this. People don't think they have enough money to give sacrificially. They buy into the fear that if they give generously, if they give sacrificially, there won't be enough cash to pay the bills or to make their rent or mortgage. In other words, they don't believe that the Lord will provide. But the reality is he always does. He always does. He's the Lord. He's ever faithful. He's ever true. Yet money is such an idol for so many of us. It's such a stumbling block. But the Lord will provide. Will you trust him? Will we? You know, the name Isaac means laughter. You can imagine how much joy and laughter Isaac brought to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. But Abraham gave God his best, his beloved son Isaac, who brought him such joy, who brought him such laughter. What gives you that kind of joy and laughter in your life? And are you willing, if God called you, to lay it down before him? To trust him that much? Because above even that, even your Isaac, God is your one thing. Above all others. Even if it doesn't make sense to your human faculties, would you lay your Isaac down before him? Our Heavenly Father gave us Jesus. And in Jesus, and because of Jesus, we are brought into the family household of God. Because he took upon himself a death we all deserved, we get to have a shared life with God for all of eternity. No matter how much joy and laughter your Isaac may bring you, keep your hearts and minds ever fixed upon your one and only thing, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. Like Rich Mullins, may Jesus Christ be your one thing. You're one thing. He loves you so very, very much. You were purchased at such a great price. The precious blood of the perfect Lamb of God. The Lamb that was promised and provided for on Calvary. Isaac asked for the Lamb, and the Lord gave us Jesus, who is the Christ, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Let us pray. Almighty Father, look with mercy on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and given up into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death upon the cross, who is alive and glorified with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.